With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For all NBA Warriors, you are now tuned into Golden Spaces with Matt and Justin.
We're back. Golden Spaces. Matt and Justin, we're here. Yeah, Justin tuned me out because he doesn't respect me, so I need to...
What? Hey, don't clip that. Don't clip that. Just act like that never happened.
No, Justin's great. But I was saying that during the 2021 season that people bring up for Steph, I don't feel it was like that he started out hot from the very beginning. Like, he was good. He was solid. But there was just like a point in the season where he just like went to another level and went on this crazy tear. Cause that's sort of like when he moved into the top three in MVP and all of that. So like he ended the season great and the numbers were great, but it wasn't like an all season year thing where like this year he basically started from jump. And so I would still put 2016, even though he wasn't as good defensively, and this season, assuming he stays like this, I would still put those above 2021 for those reasons.
I got you. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think in 2016, he did have like a little dry spell at one point in the season, but it definitely wasn't as, it didn't feel as mediocre as the beginning of 2021 did, especially when they were like losing every other game and stuff like that. So,
plus in 2021, I mean, he was still great, but it wasn't a 50-40-90 season, was it?
It wasn't 50. It was like 47 or something like that, 46. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with this being better than those two. And so, look, I want that third MVP for Steph. He needs to win it because he needs a third MVP. I've always said that.
That's right there.
Yeah, so I want that third MVP for him. I want it all this season, you know? Like, I mean, I don't really care about the finals MVP, but he still needs to get another one because he's been robbed of so many. So, but I want it all. I want MVP. I want finals MVP. I want Western Conference. Like, I want every guy to
exactly
on the way there. Plus, to complete the task that didn't happen in 2016, you know, where it's like you had this amazing season. It won't be some 70 something wins, and who cares? That's fine. But you had this amazing season, and then you get there, right? Because when's the last time we've had an MVP who won it all?
Steph.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Like, almost 10 years apart.
When's the last time MVP got there, even if they didn't win it all?
Probably Steph again, maybe. Let me think.
Because I think in the year Giannis won, he was not the MVP that year.
Yeah, 17, Russ didn't get to the finals. 18, Harden didn't get to the finals. 19 and 20.
Jokic didn't get there. Giannis didn't get there.
Right. Yeah, in 21, Jokic didn't get there. So, yeah, in 22, Jokic didn't get there.
In both of Steph's MVP seasons, he at least got to the finals and won one.
Yep. So, got to do it. Three MVPs. I mean, in my book, he has two finals MVPs already. I don't really care.
Correct.
what people say about that.
He does have two, and I just want to go on record saying that I feel like it's really debatable whether, not that Kevin Durant's numbers were not worthy of finals MVPs, but it's debatable, like, that's whether Steph should have been given more consideration. The way that it was just like, so the second year, he at least got some votes, and he probably would have won, but for that game three. But like that first season with Kevin Durant, I just feel like he didn't even get a single vote again. Like, they act like he didn't do nothing on the court, where he damn near averaged like a triple double. And we all watched the lanes just open up for Kevin Durant, you know, because they were like, you know, running out to the 3-point line. And even though he was amazing, I feel like Steph was actually really also amazing in that 2017 finals. And they just act like he was just like there along for the ride. And I didn't like that kind of like revisionism of like what went on in that series.
Yeah, you know, it's those, a lot of those votes are like, it's spurred, it's like heat of the moment. It's like narratives, what's going on. KD obviously hit that shot over LeBron in what was it, game three, 2017. In addition to the crazy numbers he was averaging, it, you know, I'm surprised he didn't win it unanimously based on like the narrative building at that point. But, and it was also a time where people weren't really paying that much attention to gravity, and it was still kind of like a joke to people. Like, when we were trying to tell people like, yo, this is what's happening on the court, you guys aren't really acknowledging it. And then a lot of people were just kind of brushing it off. I think at this point people acknowledge it now, so it was just right, it was wrong time for it, I think. But yeah, like I said, 15 is his, shout out to Andre, but 15 is his. He obviously got 22. If he gets a third one, that's rarefied air, third MVP, rarefied air, five championships. That's just super, super elite company. And then we got to really talk about some top five, four, three conversations.
Yes, yes. Because here's the thing, right? I really respect like the accolades and the resumes. Like, I think you need the hardware. I'm not very moved by just longevity in itself. So, because that to me, like, LeBron obviously has like the resume and hardware too, but like he gets a tremendous boost by people for just that he's been doing it for so long. And I'm just like, it doesn't really mean much to me if you're playing at a high level and your team doesn't make the playoffs. Like, that, like, that's great, but like, I, like, to me, if someone gets the same amount of rings and they did it in less time, that's better to me than the fact that you were able to play for many more years. That's me personally, right? People will think like I'm just hating on him, but I really don't understand the logic. So like, while I have LeBron, like, I don't have him number two to Jordan, but I do have him like obviously as a top player of all time. I just don't give him that same kind of boost that people do. But that being said, like, I give deference to your resume and the accolades. And so that's why when people are like, oh, Steph is already better than Magic, or he's better than this person, I'm just like, he has to still get a few things on his resume for me to actually rank him higher than those guys, even if I think he's a better player or a more skilled player. So I right now still have Magic ahead of Steph. But so there's the point guard race, and then there's like the all-time race, right? But I expect Steph to surpass Magic. Like, to me, that's just a matter of time, right? But then it's like where you put him all-time. Like, because in my opinion, I've said this before in private conversations. I don't know if I've ever said it on my podcast or to you, but I think for me, Steph is the second best player that I've ever seen and watched play the game, like after Michael Jordan. So I've always felt like that, but he obviously has had the resume to do it. So like, I would put him second, and I have no problem assuming he just picks up the other accolades he needs to before his career is over. But for some people, that's blasphemous. There are people who tell me he cannot be better than LeBron no matter what, and he can't be better than all these other players no matter what. And I think those are ridiculous arguments. But I'm curious, for someone who I think is on the record of not having a LeBron bias the way people think that I do, and I know you do rank LeBron highly and like he's a player you actually like, where do you think ultimately Steph can fall?
Oh, I think the same as you. I think ultimately he can climb up to two. Like I said, we have to have a season like we want him to have this year, where he kind of racks up all the accolades. He needs another MVP, obviously another championship, another finals MVP. But if he does that, and maybe they even squeak out another one somehow by the time he retires. He's looking at 6 championships, potentially 3 finals MVPs and 3 MVPs. Then it's like, all right, what's really the argument for him not being up there? Because another guy was good for 3 additional years because they didn't go to college. You know, like that really, like you said, it means something, but it doesn't mean enough for me to rank him under guys that he was clearly just as good as or better than at his peak. And he sustained that peak for 8 to 9 to 10, 11 year period. So once he gets to that, you know, we can say his peak or his prime started 2014 or 2015. Once he gets to that 9 or 10 year mark of just sustained MVP level play, then the longevity argument is essentially out of there. Like, and in that span, he somehow comes out with 5 or 6 championships. I mean, the only way you can say anybody is better is if they three-peated twice and had 5 MVPs, right? Michael Jordan, right? That's the only way you can say somebody's better than a guy that's being able to accomplish what Steph can accomplish. So, like you said, the ceiling is 2. I mean, the ceiling is 1, obviously, because we don't know what can happen. He can run off 4 championships in a row, right? But I think he ultimately ends up somewhere in that 2 to 3 to 4 range. In my opinion, if he passes Magic, which I think he will eventually pass Magic, then he's probably 3rd, right? Because a lot of people have Magic either 3rd or 4th, whether you put Kareem above Magic or not. So it'll just be him, LeBron, and Mike. So that'll be crazy, and it's definitely in the cards, because nobody, as we've seen based on the numbers and based on what we've seen, nobody has been this good at this age, right? As good as Michael Jordan was, he wasn't at this level, right?
No, right.
So we'll see. You know, who's to say Steph can't have another season like this even next year, right? It doesn't look like he's slowing down or anything.
Like, he can, by the way. Like, I just think getting a 5th and accomplishing a lot of those things bumps him up into like certain territory. Like, I so badly want Steph to get to a 6th, you know? Like, yeah. I already felt like he lost 2 prime years with the 1 year he was out and the Clay year, because I'm like, he definitely had the potential to get to 7, like, without, like, those injury-riddled years. And so I'm like, if he could still get to 5, that would be great. So, yeah, you know, I really want it to happen. And to me, I think it's more impressive that Steph does this being at the height and stature that he is.
Right.
Like, use that to ding him and say, well, he can't, because, and I'm just like, well, isn't it more impressive that he does have these limitations and he's still reaching the same heights as these guys? Like, at what point does that start to count as a bonus in his favor? Imagine if you had their height and they're still like, you know?
Yeah, I feel it definitely adds a different level of, you know, being impressive, because It's unprecedented. Small guys don't win in the league. Small guys don't reach the height that he reached.
Not the number one option on their team.
Exactly, right? And every all-time list you see him, or every list for some stat or something that he's done, you always see him next to 6'6 and up, 6'8, 6'9, these gigantic athletic humans that are supposed to be dominant in the league. And he's found a way to crack the code with his jump shooting and his overall skill and everything that he brings to the table.
Even right now, this season, the rate he's finishing at, like, the only other people in those conversations are like 7 feet players.
Exactly. It's just, like I said, everything about his game is underrated other than his shooting. He's one of the best under the basket finishers in the history of the game, both by percentages and just by looking at him play, right?
Better finisher than Kyrie. I'm going to keep saying it because people have said Kyrie
that's been in the league. People still fight with me over this.
They still fight with me over it, Justin.
Kyrie has the ball don't stop guys like in a chokehold. Like he's always had them in chokehold. Kyrie's
Kevin Durant. Like, you know, the other day, him talking about Kevin Durant like still being the best player in the league, bro.
Yeah, I mean,
he will get on here and be like, "Oh, Steph's skill, his this, his that," but will never consider calling him the best in the league. Kevin Durant has one good fucking game, and he's, you know, let me use polite language, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, KD got that 7-foot boost, and he's obviously an all-time great in his own right. So, like, it's not completely blasphemous to say, like, KD is the best player in the league, whatever, even though I vehemently
agree. It is blasphemous. That nigga just fucking got fucking smacked.
He did get swept in the first round.
He got swept in the first round by a defense that Steph shredded. It's fucking blasphemous. It is blasphemous.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
And you have fucking SGA talking about, oh, he can do everything Steph could do with 7 feet. Bro, this is why when people tell me I gotta listen to players, I'm like, son, I don't care who they are. They don't know what the fuck they talking about.
Yeah, that's that Gen Z right there. That's that Gen Z popping out right there. Shout out to all the Gen Zers, but
what generation are you?
I'm millennial. I'm on the line. I'm on the line. Look it up. I know I look like I'm Gen Z, but like that 1 to 2 year period right before Gen Z, that's where I'm at.
I get it. I'm on actually the line of Gen X and millennial. So I straddle both too. I'm a Zennial, they call me.
Okay. I don't know what the line, I don't know what the name is for me. But yeah, like, hey, this whole Kyrie thing, like the handles, he's more skilled. He's a better finisher than Steph. That was never the case. His handle might be better, sure, whatever, but he was never more skilled, never better finisher than Steph. Steph, he gets the number 6. We're going to have some very interesting, he gets the number 5. We're going to have some very interesting conversations.
Yes,
but
it's starting this summer. That's why people are doing space to talk about they pray anyone but Steph this year.
Of course. They know.
So we didn't talk about at all the next game, and we need to wrap, but let's just touch on it really quickly because it's going to be a battle between the number one and number two leading scorer in the NBA, two guys who I think are squarely in the MVP conversation, two guys who like to put on a show on the court. Yeah, so a battle of last year's Western Conference Finals opponents. So I'm looking forward to it. We've had some tough games down there in Dallas. We've had times where Steph and Luka put on a show. Some of those games, like I think the Dirk Knight one, we got smacked, but we also were missing some players. But are you expecting a good game? What are you expecting out of that?
Maybe a little bit of desperation from Dallas, because if my prediction is correct, they will lose tonight in Milwaukee, and that would be their second loss in a row. And maybe, I don't know, third or fourth in their last 5 games or something. So they're in a skid right now. So I expect them to come out firing. And really, Dallas is only as good as their shooters are shooting, right? If Dorian is hitting 1 to 2, 3 threes and Reggie Bullock is out there cashing and THJ is out there cashing, then it's going to be tough to beat them because Luka is going to generate a ton of threes just with the pressure he puts in the rim, posting up and isolation scoring and stuff like that. So if they do a pretty good job of closing out on the shooters and kind of letting Luka try to score 50 points against Wiggins' one-on-one defense, then I think they'd be in a good spot because I don't think Dallas has a chance to guard them. They've reached a groove.
Wiggins does a pretty good job on Luka.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he has the strength to not just get bullied under the rim. He has the quickness and the IQ to be able to like not necessarily get completely out of the play with a fake. And he gets off the ground so quick. So it kind of makes it tough for Luka, even though Luka is still an amazing offensive player. But I think he's one of the better defenders on Luka in the league.
I would love it if he posterized them again. Do you remember that? They tried to take it away from him, but he...
I do remember that. That was crazy. That was crazy. And he got a crazy poster today.
Yeah.
On Gobert. With a sneaky top some athlete in the league. Him and Kuminga, we probably got two top 6, 7 athletes in the whole entire NBA. So, hopefully one of them, because Kuminga had a crazy dunk against the Mavericks last year too in a regular season.
Yeah.
Maybe one of them get a crazy dunk on them coming up. But yeah, desperation from the Mavericks. They're going to be shooting. They're going to be at home. So we just got to close out to the shooters, which the Warriors haven't done the best job on this year. But we'll see.
All right. Well, there you go, guys. There you have it. We will definitely be back to discuss that Mavs game. Hopefully they don't put up a stinker for us, either team. But I would like to see. I kind of like it. Was like when Steph had the duel with Kyrie and then Jason Tatum, and he's had them with Luka. I sort of like that. As long as it's not like you're taking away from like the rest of the flow of the offense, which he's usually good at. I would like to kind of see that like one-on-one battle between them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's enjoyable.
And the offense is Steph. So like when he gets going and he starts hunting his shot, it's better for the offense anyway. So it'll almost never take away from his teammates because it'll make the other team react to it in a way that is going to create extremely wide open shots for his teammates anyway.
Right. So yeah. For sure. Thank you for explaining that to me, Justin. You know, I will humble myself and listen to you, as I was told tonight on Twitter from someone who apparently thinks I don't understand things about this team. So thank you. Thank you, Justin, for teaching me. And I'm humbling myself. I'm listening to you.
That's hilarious. Hey, shout out to whoever that was. I know you called a meme block. I don't know if I got you blocked. I probably don't. But yeah, just watch people in general on Twitter. I know that's not going to ever happen, but people should just watch how they talk to strangers a little bit more. Like, I don't really get how people just come into a stranger's mentions and just talks crazy to them or talk.
And by the way, like, people could be like, Nat, you'd be going crazy if sometimes with people. I do. And you know what? Kendrick Perkins blocked me. He blocked me for it. One day I will tell y'all the story of why Kendrick Perkins blocked me, but I don't think anyone on Dub's Twitter will be upset because we know how reckless he used to talk about Stefan. So, right. Yeah. So, all right, guys, this has been fun. Like I said, we'll be back. Thank you for tuning in with us. Don't forget to subscribe, follow, share, comment. Everything you can do, all those things help, even if you actually can't listen to every single episode, but doing those things helps us. And also follow us at Golden Spaces Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Send us some questions to our mailbag at gswspaces@gmail.com. Until next time, take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.